covering season 6 of Outlander. Episode 1, Echoes. Episode 2, Allegiance. Episode 3, Temperance. And episode 4, Hour of the Wolf. Yeah, when she said season 6, she means the first half of season 6, not all of season 6. Although we're tempted, just because, you know, this is not the most gripping season in our recollection. So,
unless you're gripping some rope.
Yeah. Wow. I thought I had gallows humor. I'm gonna call these drinks so I know what I call them. So we're going to have our usual disclaimers, which include that there will be cursing, there will be spoilers for season 6 of Outlander, which again, you know, if you're following along with the bouncing ball, you should know where we are.
I have a name for these drinks. But you go ahead.
Mine is possibly better. We are having things to drink. We have decided that this season does not deserve alcohol. So True. We are not having rosé champagne. No, that would be far too good for season 6. And thematically, we also feel like we should be sober. So we are having something that I am calling the miscarriage.
Oh.
In part because it's red.
In part.
Well, mostly because it's red, but also because this is a miscarriage of a season, in my opinion. And it consists of strawberry puree. I have ginger beer in mine and lime juice. You have ginger ale and lime juice. And you want to call yours something that's not a miscarriage.
Blood of my blood.
That actually sounds cool. No, this is not a cool season.
No,
it is not entitled to a good name like Blood of My Blood. No, this is a miscarriage.
Okay, anyway, moving on from miscarriage, let's get into it because we do not want to spend long on these episodes at all. If you're shocked that an eight episode season, we have very little to talk about, where it's just going to go by so quickly.
Don't be shocked, because there's not a lot that happens, at least not a lot that is compelling or much character development, honestly.
Yeah.
So this first one, season 6, episode 1, Echoes, is Echoes. It echoes other things. It is very reminiscent of other things that we already know. The biggest thing to happen in this episode is that Thomas Christie of Ardsmuir Prison comes to the Ridge. There's a whole lot of Ardsmuir Prison stuff that I really do not give two shits about. Not if you
one
want to
time
talk
I mentioned in a best part, and it's just the blind boy.
Oh,
he's very sweet.
Yeah, and he dies. He's got such a red shirt on him. It's sad.
Yeah, he's looking for a lock of hair that fell from his locket that his girl gave him.
And because of Tom Christie, he ends up getting killed in a melee between the prisoners. So,
because Tom Christie, first thing you gotta know, is Protestant. And he is all for not having a Catholic king. And so he doesn't give a shit about, like, all this Scottish rebellion stuff. And so a lot of people are against him. He is very staunchly religious. Mm-hmm. And that is the first thing you need to know. And basically the last thing you need to know about that man. And he's also just stubborn as an ox. And also abusive. We hate to see it. Either way, he's come to Fraser's Ridge. And he's just like, hey, can I have some land? And James was like, sure, have some land. Mm-hmm. And so he's just like, great, perfect. Also, here are my children. What's his name? Alan?
Adam, I think. It's Adam and Malva.
Yeah.
They're both attractive looking people.
They are.
that's about as much as we can say for them. And we will talk about Malva probably some more, and a little bit about him, about Alan, but we really don't care. So Mr. Christie shows up at Fraser's Ridge. He seems menacing. We're not sure what to think of him. I do want to point out that the title sequence in this season has a guy singing the
theme song.
The theme song, but it switches into Gaelic, and the Gaelic part's okay. The first part really is not.
Either way, Brianna is wanting to go full tilt into the whole engineering thing. She's still a little bit nervous, but Claire's like, fuck it, do it. And she's like, okay.
She makes a giant spinning wheel.
No, that's way later. That's like three episodes from now.
So bored in this season. Marcy had some bruises on her wrist, which is concerning. And Fergus is not hanging around the house the way he ought to be, which is Also concerning, considering how incredibly pregnant Marcella is and they have three kids.
Yeah, it's also 1773. And when we get a good look at his kids, I'm just like, that girl, the youngest, Felicity, should be still a baby. Like, it's the last time check we got was 17, like, autumn of 1772.
Well, no, this is 1773.
I'm aware of that. It's winter of 1773.
I don't know. Whatever. It could be like the January, February of 1773.
No, but that doesn't matter. The baby's only a few months old. Whatever. So why is she walking?
Mom.
That's my question. Maybe it's just me being like wrong about the timeline, but that feels weird.
Yeah, whatever. You are actually caring about this in a way that I simply do not.
Anyway, Jamie's also there's this whole thing about him being an Indian agent for the crown, and he goes back and forth, but he eventually decides, yes, I'm going to do it, so that it doesn't go to the brown guy. No, yeah. Whoa, that's not bad. Sorry, no.
The Browns.
Richard Brown.
Yeah, the Browns. So it doesn't go to them because they're clearly people who hate the Indians and are not going to be fair or honest or anything else. There's a fair bit, and you know, if you're watching this show just for the sex, you would be like, wow, you know, like there's a lot of Claire and Jamie sex in this season. Much of it actually is coming across in kind of a boring way, which is
boring.
It's surprising. I mean, they have a couple of okay sex scenes, but it's like, I'm surprised that I don't care.
Claire has invented ether.
And she is self-medicating with it. She keeps having these post-traumatic flashbacks and she doesn't like it, so she will knock herself out.
There's this one moment, and it's not in... She's doing a... she's helping out Tom Christie with, like, something wrong with his hand.
Yeah.
He has a cut on one hand and his other hand is, like, stiff, muscle spasm.
It looks like he must have broken it and it set wrong or something.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. And so she is treating his hand with stitches, and she talks about anesthetic, and it kept making me think of that Pink Panther Strikes Again, where the laughing gas, and there is just like, anesthetic, yes, I'm going to get it, the anesthetic.
That was funny, and this was not.
That's why I laughed.
The juxtaposition is something. It's
also, in the background of a lot of this is Josiah and Lizzie and Keziah
and Lizzie.
So flirting.
Yeah, there's a lot of flirting between Love Lizzie and the twins. Interesting.
And Roger, he's a Presbyterian, so it's close enough to Protestant. And so he's kind of like a bridge gap.
Presbyterian is a Protestant sect.
Yes.
So he's thinking like Tom Christie's kind of like, well, I understand where you're coming from.
And so he's kind of like the bridge the gap guy.
Yeah.
And he is helping out this widow whose husband died on the ride on the boat ride over, and she has two kids, one's a toddler, one's a baby, and she has her hands full, obviously. And so he's helping her out with like help build her a cabin and all that stuff. Anyway,
that's pretty much it.
Yeah, well, Jamie also, essentially Mr. Christie, he's having this issue of obeying Jamie's command because he's like, well, God's command comes first. It's just like, this is my land.
Yeah, you want to be here? You want to have a home? You want to build?
You not want to be evicted? Yeah, that's what I thought. So my word is law here. Anyway, so...
That's pretty much it. Yeah, so
best parts. Blind guy, he's very sweet, or was. He's dead now. Brianna and Roger helping the widow. I like that. They helped cheer up the kid and all that stuff. Jamie, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, so I have Roger, because I think Roger does do some good stuff in this. And Jamie with a question mark, because he's waffling and
he often does.
As he often does, but some of the stuff he does is okay. What were your worst parts?
Killing the blind guy. The fuck? Mr. Christie. He's just really annoying. And he looks pretty similar to Richard Brown. So I thought it was supposed to be Richard Brown. And I was like, why are you calling him Mr. Christie? That's Mr. Brown. And I was like, no, that's actually not. Wait.
Yeah, I think Richard Brown's fatter. It's just so hard to tell them apart.
Yeah, they physically they do look different, but their faces and their hair color are very similar.
And their hair style, because they all like wear it back in old ponytails.
Yeah, it's easy to get confused, and I
Yes. And they all are wearing tricorn hats. It makes it harder.
Yeah. And then Fergus character assassination. Ah, yes. I'm so sorry. We've forgotten because we wanted to forget.
Mm.
Fergus is drinking.
Yes.
And he is a drunk now.
Yeah, he spends all his time at the still. He's not taking care of Marcelly. This is going to be a theme through all of the episodes. I don't know how much we want to spend time on it now because I think it gets developed a bit more in later episodes.
Yeah, that's probably why we skipped over it.
Yeah, because it's just, it's kind of, it's mentioned, it's hinted at, but we don't get into it until later group episodes in this group.
So. Claire using drugs and long and boring. It was an hour and 21 minutes, people.
We summarized it in like 3. I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous. So my worst parts are the rest. So my best parts are Roger, some of Jamie. The rest of it just sucks. It's just bad. And so,
I will say, the Brianna subplot this season of her just inventing shit is really cute to me.
It's cute, but there's like no screen time for it.
Literally none.
Who cares? I mean, I would love to know more about what's going on with Brianna. We don't know anything about
what's going on. I'd love to see her thought process behind like what she feels like she could and should invent
and how she what she should be. A couple of things that they mention in passing, like in that episode where they there was the whole Jimmy from Downton Abbey thing, and they were in Wilmington, dealt with
making a syringe
and like who they went to with, and they, you know, they had to get the blacksmith to do this, and you know, or the tinker or whatever.
This could be her like making new friends.
It could, but we're not having that because this show sucks. So yeah, what grade did you give this episode?
A D+. Also, I would like to say, like, in that possible alternate timeline that we're thinking for Brianna, because this is the only meaningful conversation we're going to be having in this season, is like what could have been done differently with the whole Brianna thing. There is, if I recall, with Roger, some weird potential like murmurings of an affair with him with the widow, or just like gossip. It's obviously not actually happening, but like it's gossip fodder. And so Brianna, if she had like made friends like with a guy who was really into inventing as well, and that could be gossip fodder, and then they come together and get jealous of each other, and it's just like, wait, what are we even jealous about? That's a fine romance trope. That's totally fine, as long as it doesn't lead to anything. It's just them getting jealous and being like, wait, if we just communicate, it's fine.
Yeah,
but like tales all this time.
They don't do any of, they do them dirty, I think.
They do them so dirty.
Anyway, so my grade for this episode is a D-. They're going to be, I've had a bunch in the last season. I can tell you right now, they're going to appear
again. It's worse.
So moving on to season 6, episode 2, Allegiance, not the pledge, but possibly. We get the whole Jamie and young Ian visit the Cherokee.
No, that's the 4th episode. I know. They do visit, but it's not for as long as they do.
No, but they go and they visit the Cherokee and these women, and we get to see Wee Sheamus. That's like one of my best parts, is Wee Sheamus is in the credits.
Oh yeah, Sheamus appearance.
Which is like, let's face it, we're going with crumbs here.
He has now accepted the role of Indian agent. He goes to the Cherokee penis. Not Sheamus, but Jamie has taken the position, and he goes to the Cherokee chief, and they're basically like, we want guns. If you're going to like make us be a part of this war, give us fucking weapons. And also, we want people not trespassing onto our land. And it's like, okay, I'll pass it along.
But Jamie's not, he's not sure that he wants to have them armed. And so he doesn't commit right away, and young Ian's pissed
because he knows about the future, and like it's uncertain how things go with the Cherokee in that revolution.
Yeah,
and so I mean, we know what happens like 60 years from now, but like what about in the immediate future?
Right,
they're not sure.
Right, and so one of the other things that happens when they are with the Native Americans is two women try to seduce Jamie because they think he's an important guy.
You forget there's one that's in waiting.
Well, there's one like on him and went in waiting, and Young Ian thinks this is hilarious.
Which it is hilarious. It is hilarious. Very casual about it.
Well, and he has to talk them out of it, which is quite funny. So, in translation, like, hey, you know, he can't have sex with you until we give you guns. And it's like, that's not the right answer. That is not what you're supposed to be saying. This is not a thing. But that's pretty funny. So we move on to... So we have Claire treating Tom Christie, and you know Malva, his daughter, is very interested in the fact that Claire is a healer. Tom Christie is very, very misogynistic.
So misogynistic
he is. He's quoting like
he's like women should be seen, not heard. Fuck you. It's like what the fuck, man.
And Claire's basically like, look, St. Paul had issues with women. Get over it. Which you know, there's some. I can see that the tone of many of St. Paul's letters go that way. I didn't get it, and this is such an in-passing thing, but I know I'm already mentioned that Jamie and Claire have a lot of sex in this season. There's a sex tornado when he comes by from being with the Cherokee, because I guess sex he got all...
It was crazy.
Yeah, like he's all excited.
He's all worked up.
Because he hasn't been able to have sex with Claire, and so, like they
I think
like
women were beautiful and they were
they so, were like so, but they he destroys their bedroom having sex with Claire, and they're on the floor with a bunch of broken shit. It's like you have to make all this stuff. What makes you think that breaking your shit is a good idea in 1770 something?
That mom, the sex tornado.
Whatever.
Either way, Marcelly. Claire visits Marcelly with Malva,
and we shame his appearance. The soldier is the Lord, the British soldier who is coming, and
the major
that he's trying to find out what the Cherokee want is allergic to wee Seamus. Oh, these horrible animals. It's like, no, it's wee Seamus.
Shut the
he's
fuck up.
He's been framed. I'm sorry.
Claire visits Marcelly for her checkup. She's about to pop, and so Malva's
missing. And Fergus is missing.
Yeah, Fergus has not been present. And Claire finally talks to Marcelly about it. And Marcelly is like, well, I know exactly why he's drinking and being all distant. It's because he feels like he should have been there to protect me.
Yes.
When we got attacked.
Yeah.
Because she got knocked the fuck out. And it could have been real bad. But
she's like, hey, we're okay. I protected myself. And, you know,
and you got Claire back. So yeah, it's okay. There's literally nothing you could have done.
And we're moving on. That's the way Marcelly's looking at it. Like, she's like, we've got kids. We need to move on. We need to continue to protect each other.
We can't dwell on
this, babe. Yeah. Move on.
But he's obviously not seeing it that way. Mm-hmm. I think the rationale for him acting out of character makes a lot of sense. However, I think that the way they go about it with alcoholism doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
Well, I think they want to have parallel self-medicating storylines, one with Claire and one with Fergus. I'm not really sure that this plays the way they intend for it to. And honestly, you know, parallel storylines don't always work.
No.
So this is one that I see as not working, but whatever.
Anyway.
Let's see. Oh yeah, so
Brianna makes matches because Lord John Grey sent her some phosphorus.
Yeah, which is great. You go, Lord John Grey. But part of what's fun—not fun. Marcelly goes into labor, and something is wrong. She's very worried, and she has to be carried to the house.
Well, before that, there's a whole subplot.
Oh, the funeral thing.
Yeah, of Roger being called to be a part of, like, to preside over a funeral. And he does so, but the woman's not dead. And she doesn't dance or sing. She just complains about the funeral arrangements. And then she slowly dies again of internal bleeding. So they just continue on with the funeral, which is kind of a wild thing to do. But yeah, that's basically all that. And then Marcelly goes into labor. And it's something feels wrong. Claire's concerned that she might have to do a C-section. They can't find Fergus anywhere.
So they send Roger to find him. And Roger blesses Fergus out. Good for him. He's like, and he's kind of stepped into this, like, son of the patriarch role, which I really kind of like to see with Roger.
Second in command.
And he's, you know, basically giving Fergus the business. Like, look, you cannot sit around being drunk. Your wife is having a baby, and you know, this whole you should
she's
be there
in danger her. Right she's now. Danger.
You need to be there. You'll regret it forever if you don't. Just fucking do it.
And Fergus does go to Marsley, he's very comforting. He literally, like, suckles at her teat.
To help with contractions?
I think what the general idea of that, that idea is to distract her.
No. Honestly, so they talk of this is stuff you probably never knew about pregnancy. Like having sex late in pregnancy.
I've heard about that.
You start like the peristaltic wave of contractions late. It makes them more regular. Mm. And I can see where cycling.
The baby hadn't moved in a while, and so it's just like, okay, well,
yeah.
Let's try this.
So they end up having full on sex.
Really cute is Fergus says, "You will not die. I will not let you go." Mm-hmm. It's very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Then she gives birth, and it turns out the baby has dwarfism. And Fergus immediately storms off to pout somewhere. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about? It's an adorable baby.
Yes.
And also, it's your son. Mm-hmm. His name is Christian. And I'm just.
Henri Christian.
And I'm just gonna call him Christian, but
okay.
But yeah, I'm just like, what are you doing?
Wee Seamus helps with the labor, by the way.
Wee Seamus is there
in the bed with Marsley before Fergus gets there, and he's giving healing powers. He's such a sweet cutie. We love him so much.
Also, Rolo's an icon and a legend.
Rolo helps with the baby too.
Kind of, I guess.
Yes. Yeah. Sure. And the whole time it's like, get your shit together, Fergus. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? The widow child shows up at Brianna and Roger's, and they help him. They're kind of Roger's kind of fatherly with him as well.
We hear in that conversation, Brianna and Roger have been trying for another baby, but haven't been successful yet.
Yeah. We see that Tom Christie is... We all think he's kind of a zealot. And I started to think, like, is this, like, part of Game of Thrones when you start having religious zealots on things? Because it had a little bit of that. They had cello music that was a tiny bit like Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I did notice that. I was going to point it out.
I'm pointing it out. But it's kind of like, what the fuck are we doing? And there's this discussion about... people being accused of witchcraft, and specifically Claire is accused of witchcraft. And so Tom Christie's kind of like, they suspect that he's starting it. Jamie specifically does. And so Jamie goes to him and says, like, it's interesting you're building this church, but you know, you answer to me. This is not going to be a single denominational church. My wife's going to be welcome here. You're not going to call her a witch. This is not okay.
And I get that. If you have very limited resources, you're not going to build churches for every single denomination.
Sure.
Like, you've got to just make this accessible for everybody.
Right. And when they hadn't had a church at all. So, I mean,
you can plan your right. Like, it can be services or whatever as well.
It can be all the things, a meeting house. And that's how they intend to, how Jamie wants them to use it. And if he gets any pushback, he's going to basically, like, you know, give him the business.
And he's also, I was just going to say, Mr. Christie is extremely abusive towards Malva. Yes. And he can't be as abusive as he wants to without his other hand getting fixed. And so he's going to go to Claire and he's...
Have surgery so he can beat her better. Yay.
Also, we find out that young Ian had a baby.
Yes. So this is what I was going
to
mention.
Was about to.
Young Ian, he's being very sweet. Again, he's kind of like... You know, like a Jamie deputy kind of thing. He's like holding the baby and whispering a Native American blessing on the child. And he has a conversation with Marsley about how he had a child when he was with the Mohawk, and Jamie overhears it. And so Jamie has a conversation with young Ian about not exactly that, but about how he feels about the Cherokee getting guns. And young Ian's like, they should get guns. And so Jamie writes a letter saying that they should get guns. And I think it's because Yangian had a conversation with Brianna about it. Like
She asked while Marcy was in labor.
He asked Brianna, and Brianna's like, the Cherokee are going to get fucked. They're going to get sent on this trail of tears about 60 years from now. And, you know, however many guns you give them, it's not going to be enough. But young Ian's reaction is, we need to give them something. And so Jamie recommends giving guns from the crown, and they can do whatever they want with them. And that's it. So what were your best parts?
Seamus. Young Ian is funny when the women are in the tent and he's just watching it happen and just narrating it. It's funny. Yeah. Brianna and Roger, they're sweet. Fergus getting his head out of his ass and actually comforting his pregnant wife who's giving birth.
Yeah.
Rolo is the bestest boy, and Lord John Grey for sending Phosphor.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
No, it's not.
You know who you didn't mention? Marsley. Marsley's fucking awesome.
Oh my goodness, yes, Marsley.
Marsley's awesome. Young Ian's awesome. Not awesome, but good. Roger, I think, is really good in this. Jamie, I think, is pretty good. Wee Seamus being there and being such a good kitty.
Oh yeah, Jamie also.
I did not put Fergus is the best part because I think he's a worst part.
He is also a worst part for me, but right, that moment was the best part.
Yeah. So well, that's true. That moment is the best part. Go ahead.
Fergus drinking and being pretty dumb is the worst part. Major asshole who's allergic to cats. Mr. Christie, the fuck? Stop being abusive.
Yeah.
And long and boring.
Definitely long and boring. I think there was some Claire self-medicating in this. I didn't care.
There was.
Or whatever. Worst part for me, Tom Christie, boredom, and Fergus being an ass and not getting his shit together. What grade did you give this?
D plus.
I gave it a D. It's better than the last episode, so I gave it a D. Let's move on.
Episode 3, Temperance. So this starts out with a Moses ass moment where poor Christiane is being sent down the river in a basket crying, and Roger has to save him because the little kids who were Protestant being like whatever the fuck they are being with like religious fanatics or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, they thought he was cursed and like he'd burn them, the baby would, if they touched him.
And Germain, his older brother, is there, and he doesn't I don't think he thinks that his brother's a demon. I just think that he was trying to play along
or prove to them that it wasn't true or something. Like, no, you can test him, it'll be fine.
But Roger has to literally jump into a river and stop the baby from going over a fucking waterfall.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Either way, Fergus is concerned for Christian's safety and tells Claire is like what happened to people of dwarfism in France.
Yeah.
Because
it was really bad.
And so he's very, very afraid because it's like it's not something that's gonna go away or people aren't going to notice.
To be clear, what he said happened was someone that he knew that had dwarfism that he worked with in the brothel got killed, and his body was chopped up and sold for, you know, like totems and medicines and things like that. And it's disgusting.
Awful.
Horrible. So yes, I can understand his anxiety about it. But hey, you need to step up and protect your child. What is wrong with you?
Yeah, because he's like, well, no, we're not all going to be alive long enough to keep him safe all the time. And it's just like, okay, well, then help him now while he's his most vulnerable, and maybe he won't need to. So Mr. Christie finally asks Claire for some unmedicated surgery, which always will end well. Roger helps the widow. It doesn't matter.
Jamie makes the boys touch the baby. He gives them a choice. You can touch the baby or touch a hot poker. And they're like, oh, let's touch the baby.
Brown and Butch is spinning wheel.
Like, this is early in the episode. Like, this whole story arc, like, you feel like the episode should be done, but no, it's an hour and 13 minutes of episode or something. It's ridiculous.
Brianna invents a spinning wheel and gives it to Marsley. Fergus has promised that he stopped drinking, but he doesn't. Let's see. Oh, Malva reveals that her mother was hanged as a witch because I don't think we even mentioned this, but her brother, Alan, got 10 lashes for stealing.
Two
episodes
horn,
ago.
A gunpowder horn. Yeah.
It was not important. I didn't care. But
But he's also got a mysteriously fucked up background. And one of the things that gets said, is this what you were talking about?
Well, I don't know. Say it.
Tom Christie says to the son in this incident where he's going to get beaten, he's like, you don't want to turn out like your mother.
Yeah. He lords that over both of them.
Yeah.
And which is fucked up on many levels.
Yeah.
All right. So Marcelly is having a very bad day because Fergus is drinking again. And she's just like, they're having an argument. And then Marcelly's just like, well, you're not the only one who can protect this family because I fucking killed Lionel Brown.
And she describes how she did it. And then he's all upset.
And like, becomes misogynistic about it.
Yeah, it's like, you
should, I don't need a woman to protect my family. Like, okay, it's like,
fucking stop it.
Our family, motherfucker. Yeah. Like, are you kidding me? Mm. Oh my God. Anyway.
Not well done, out. You. Not like, awesome, Marcelly, go for it.
No, literally. Marcelly kicks him out until he gets his act together. She says, I will have a full man or none at all. Fuck yeah.
Yep.
Correct.
Awesome.
Anyway, Claire's going to drug herself again, but Christy wakes up and distracts her. I don't fucking care.
No.
And Seamus stops her from self-medicating. We love you, Seamus.
Seamus is the best.
So,
there's also this like stupid discussion about novels and
because Christy has an issue with the fact that Jamie's being so kind with him because he was there helping with the surgery, like keeping his mind off of it. And
all is that really what his issue is? I got the feeling that his issue, yes, he has an issue with that. He just doesn't believe that they are genuinely nice people.
Yeah, that's the general issue.
And so Claire loans him a novel because he had started reading novels after Arsmere because he needed something to distract himself and he needs distraction right now while he's healing. So she lends him a novel.
He gives it back to her saying this was filth.
This is smut, basically. I think
it probably wasn't.
Tom Jones, I think it might be, but I don't care. It's a book called Tom Jones. That's the title of it. Mm-hmm. It's something about the adventures of whatever. Don't care. But now that he's better, he can whip Melba. Yay. And the brother is listening and is sad that Melba's getting beaten. Aw.
Mm-hmm.
There's also like, there's some weird asides. Melba is like flirting with young Ian. She's walking in the woods with, you know, like Jamie's like, oh, hey, you want to know where these other mushrooms are? Let me show you. And she's
always making herself available.
Yes. But when she talks to young Ian, she like walks closer to him and she's trying to like she's flirting with him very clearly. She's not as flirty with Jamie.
In the next episode she's flirty with Josiah.
She flirts with like a lot of guys. She's kind of a hoe. Mm-hmm. But she's gorgeous, by the way. Actress
is absolutely stunning. Beautiful.
Yes.
She's a stunner, my God.
Yeah, she is. She's totally.
She could have any of the men.
Easily.
The older men. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Her and young Ian would work if she wasn't clearly evil.
Yes. Lizzie is flirting with the twins. They have a get together where like the tenants are paying their tribute or the tax or whatever. And Fergus is drunk. He gets in a fight with people. He beats up a guy over his son. And after that, see the way this episode is constructed, this would have been a kind of a really good episode if they had just done the baby in the basket story, like done all of it just as the Moses thing.
And this the unrest time, between
thing being tacked on it is fucking dumb.
Well, and the unrest between the Protestant sect and the rest of the Ridge and like how they view the baby could have been interesting of like, well, this opens up other things that we disagree about of like, we don't agree with this. We don't agree with whatever. And
well, yeah, but the way it's constructed, so we start with the Moses in the basket. We end with Roger preaching about Moses in the basket. But this whole middle part, there's really no thread. And it's, again, it's poorly written. There's no thread. The Tom Christie stuff is like total tangents about surgery and
by
shit.
The time he gives the sermon at the end about Moses, you've forgotten. And also the kids have already learned their lesson.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the point?
I don't know. I mean, if
there's so much shit happening, it's all disjointed and it's weird.
Yeah.
It doesn't even feel like plot lines. It's not like I could talk about them individually. It's just what's happening.
By the by, at the end of this episode, we learned the Boston Tea Party has happened. The British bring guns to get the Cherokee. Well, that's pretty much
it. You skipped over the fact that Fergus tries to kill himself.
Oh, yeah. The suicide plot that happens. So they give, like, this suicide warning. And it's in the last 8 minutes of the episode that it comes up. There's this build up, and Jamie sees Fergus walking despondently toward the creek, and then he sees him pull out a knife and start to slash his wrists and stops him, and is able to help him not do it. But again, they don't have follow through with that. It's not like he gets stitched up by Claire. I mean, there's
we don't see him getting stitched up by Claire. No. We just see him go home and be like, never again.
Never again, which he said before. Of course, Marcelly welcomes him back because she loves him. But, you know, it's kind of like, do we believe this? I don't know what to believe with this. This is bad. But that's pretty much the episode. What were your best parts?
Roger for saving the baby. Brianna, the engineer. I do like that cute little subplot. Rolo is the bestest boy.
I didn't put Wee Seamus.
Seamus. Marcelly for standing up for herself. Yeah. And the moment with Jamie and Fergus of after the attempt, Jamie stops him, and Jamie and him talk about, like, you are not useless. You need to protect your family, and this is a different. There are other ways to do it than being like this.
Well, I think
you won't be able to do any of that. You're leaving them alone if you go through with this.
I think what he says is even more profound than that. It's like,
I know, I'm paraphrasing.
It's not what you do or what you say. It's the fact that you're you. That gives your family the security that they need to, you know, like, work together. They cannot function as a unit without you because you're an essential part of it. Just being yourself.
Yeah, not because you can protect them by any special means. It's just because you are the way you are and they love you.
Right. And I think, you know,
that's beautiful.
It is beautiful. And I think one of the things that bugged me in that conversation was that Fergus says to Jamie, like, I don't think I can be the same man. And we heard Roger say that before too. I don't think I can be the same man. And I'm not sure if I remember right that Brianna was like, I don't expect you to be like, you know, but I think the truth is, no, you don't have to be to still be the man that they need.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. But Jamie doesn't say that, and he should, because he knows that he's lived that.
Yeah.
So it's a little annoying that the words come out of him. Yes, you can. You can be the same guy. It's like, no, you can't. There's no way you can be the same guy having gone through this experience.
Mm-hmm.
The whole idea is that you're not
a different person because of it.
Yeah,
she killed a man. Right. Like, I mean, she doesn't have any regrets over it anymore. No. It's like she has been changed by it too. But you don't have to let it change everything,
right?
Well, anyway,
it doesn't have to change you for the worse, it can change you for the better. So there you go.
Your best parts?
Best parts. Jamie, I think, is really good in this. I love Roger in this. Young Ian, Marcelly, Wee Seamus. That's it. Worst.
The kid's nearly killing Christiane. What the
fuck?
Yeah,
that's terrible.
Fergus drinking again and trying to kill himself. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Mr. Christie, abusive asshole. Fuck. What the fuck? And long and boring.
Yeah. Fergus is the worst part because the drinking thing, I just can't get over. Tom Christie, awful. And these kids, like, clearly they're getting this idea from somewhere. Although kids do stupid shit.
Marcy even says, I blame the parents.
Well, I mean, there's blaming the parents, but, like, kids can get their own ideas too. Like, you know, they hear a Bible story, it's like, ooh, let's see. You know, like,
they didn't.
I'm not really sure where this came from. None of us knows where it came from. So there we go. What grade did you give this?
I gave it a C-.
I gave it a D-.
The reason I gave it a C-, I think it's a little bit more engaging than the other episodes because at least shit's happening. Mm. And it is aimless, but again, a quick fix of, like, making it more focused would have helped the episode a ton. And yeah, I think that you could have kept a lot of things from the storyline about the dwarfism and all that stuff. You could have kept that as a through line with the unrest in both parts of Fraser's Ridge and made it more focused on that and Fergus and his relationship with his family, and then still have this, like, finale or climax of him trying to kill himself, Jamie stopping him, Claire patching him up, and Marcelly being there for him.
Right. We did not need the whole Tom Christie thing. None of it. We didn't need any of that at all. It's
any of the hand stuff, any of the bullshit, like,
it's
that
all tacked on there. It just doesn't feel like It makes any sense. That could have been an episode under itself, like one of these other episodes, but no. So let's move on to season six, episode four,
Hour of the Wolf.
Hour of the Wolf. This is the Ian with the Mohawk backstory that might have been interesting, and yet it was not. I think I fell asleep.
Yeah, it was either in the last episode or this episode you fell asleep.
I did. I fell asleep. And
Either way, let's
I
speed run
wanted this to
this.
be interesting because I've been a lot more like, hey, young Ian's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's the last like season and even part of this season, and yet that's not happening.
So essentially, young Ian and Jamie are bringing the guns to the Cherokee,
Yep.
and he notices that one of the
Young Ian
Mohawk
notices.
is
Young Ian notices.
whatever. One of the Mohawk is there, and it's the guy we've been seeing, the guy who liked the girl who ran into the fire and all that stuff, the
Which
hot
is kind
guy.
of his brother, yeah, hot guy.
And so young Ian starts freaking the fuck out that he's there, and he tells Jamie his backstory with what happened with the Mohawk. So he met this girl, she thought he was hot, he thought she was hot. She made him a wolf pendant. And essentially with the Mohawk, the women pick which man they want to be with. And obviously the man can refuse, but if you want to be with that woman and she chooses you, that's all the better. And so they get married, and she gets pregnant, and she has a miscarriage. It's like a stillbirth. It's bad. She was really far along. And then she gets pregnant again, but even earlier in the pregnancy, she has another miscarriage. It's really, really awful. And so she thinks that young Ian's spirit not being truly Mohawk is the problem and is having him sent back to his own people. And young Ian goes back for her, and he just finds her basically breaking bread with hot Mohawk guy.
And he's like, "Did you really want to send me away?" And she doesn't want to answer,
And
but
she's like, this is
eventually it's
how it
like,
needs to be.
"Yeah, you need to go," is basically what she says. And he is heartbroken, and it's sad, and that's pretty much it.
And the next day, there's another Indian agent there. He's very annoying and very
Is he an
unimportant.
Indian agent? I thought he was just a
He's an Indian
trapper.
agent with a different part of the Cherokee.
Ugh, and
And
he's talking about like them selling their land to the crown and shit. Like,
the
I
whole land.
guess
He
he
doesn't
had the
really
idea
seem to have the best interests of them at
of the
first.
Cherokee at heart, right? Like, he seems to be somebody who's just trying to grab land for the crown, which I'm sure he thinks is his mandate, but whatever. So he
It
and
shouldn't
Jamie
be.
talk, which I didn't even, it made no sense to me.
I didn't care. So young Ian goes up and he is talking to another one of the Mohawk, and he asks about the girl, and he's just like, yeah, no, they're married and they have a kid. He was
He's
walking
very
last
hurt.
time I saw it. It's like, oh my God.
It's just sad.
And he thinks he's the problem. He gets very upset. He starts a fight with hot Mohawk guy.
You
And
stole
then,
my wife. Yeah, it's like,
which,
no.
no, she
No.
chose him.
Yeah,
Sorry.
that's, you know that this is how this
It's
works, right?
kind of like when a guy cheats on a girl and the girl blames the woman he cheats with. It's
Yeah, it's
just
like,
like, you're the
no.
one. No,
No,
that's not
he's the
always
one
the
who's at
problem.
fault. Yeah.
Unless you have a different relationship with the woman, that's a different thing. But
Yeah.
like, either way.
Yeah.
So he starts fighting with him, they break it up, and other Indian agent starts a fight with hot Mohawk guy, and they have a duel, which is dumb. He tries to shoot him early. That doesn't happen
And
because young Ian saves him,
yeah.
and young Ian even gave him the pistol to use, the Mohawk guy, the
Yeah.
pistol to use, and
Mohawk
then
guy, gives him mercy, doesn't shoot him, but
shows his
he
cowardice.
shits his pants and is sent on his way, essentially. The other agent. Bye. And again, do we know why we met this person? No. Is he just another random person? Yes. Is this a plot line that we need to know anything about? No. But young Ian's takeaway of it is basically, I can be both Scottish and Mohawk.
Okay. Jamie also tells him about Faith, his stillborn daughter, and how he never got to hold her. He understands how it feels. It's bad. It's all sad. All that stuff.
And Jamie does tell the chief of the Cherokee about the Trail of Tears, and that he wants them to hide when the British tried to run them off.
I also love that he tells him this
aging chief that of like, hey, in 60 years, which you won't be around for, this is what's going to happen to your people.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I guess you can prepare the next batch of
Generation,
leaders,
you
but
can
like, is this
tell
like,
them, but they
what?
might not believe you because
Yeah.
it's so far off. Like, yeah, that's not gonna
And
happen.
that's the problem with trying to change the past. But
Exactly.
also, I would like to say for right before when Hot Mohawk guy is getting the gun from Ian, he's like, "Hey, if I die, go to her and
The
take care
girl.
of my child and like all this stuff." And young, I'm just like, "Yeah, right.
Yeah, that
I
was
would never go back. Are you kidding?
Yeah, no, that was bad.
Are you kidding?"
Right. So, they get back to the ridge. Claire's like, last time you came from Cherokee, you wanted to have sex. And Jane's like, but I'm tired. And they're like, let's have another tornado of sex in the barn. And while they're in the barn, Malva, Tom Christie's daughter, is watching them.
It's creepy.
Very. And that's the end of the episode. So, what were your best parts?
Rolo.
Rolo, he is all over this. He's such a bestest boy.
And Jamie and Young Ian.
Yeah, Jamie and Young Ian are one of the best parts. What were your worst parts?
Long and boring, sad flashback. That woman made me upset. I understand that you are going through a lot of hormonal stuff, and I'm sure there are people telling you what's going wrong and all
Yeah.
that stuff, but it you were t with him for a year, and you also made the first move. So like, what are you doing here?
You're being, I don't know. It's
And
just a
Malva
different
being a
culture, I guess.
creep.
Yeah, Malva's just awful. So what I put as everything else, other than Jamie and Young Ian, everything else in this episode sucks. What grade did you give this?
D.
D minus. I've had a lot of D minuses so far in season six. I am hoping that there is something in the second half of season six
I
that I
don't
like. I
remember.
feel quite certain there are some things I don't like in the second half of season six.
You've told me about some of
Yeah,
them.
I know
I
there's
do
some
not
things
remember
coming
it.
that I really, really don't like. So we're gonna talk about it when we get there. We're not gonna be drinking, but we do hope that you join us for some fun mocktails. You may or may not call them miscarriages.
Please
We'll
don't.
see. We'll see. But we hope that you join us. And
Cheers.